Turn your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 25. We started in verse 19 last week, and we talked about the worry. Well, we talked about the warning of wealth. And tonight, we're going to have a warning about worry. But I'd rather title it Winning Over Worry, because what Jesus has to say to us helps us to be able to win over worry. We've all worried. How about the things that we've worried about before? I had a sprinkler pipe bust underground back in December. I was sick in the bed. And I was thinking about calling someone to fix it, and I thought about how much repairmen are and how much everything is today. So I went out there and stuck around with my shovel, and I found that thing. And I dug out and dug around it, and I found exactly where it was leaking. So I knew what to cut out, and I cut it out, and I ran out of daylight, and I didn't feel good. So I left it just like that and went in and went to sleep. Next thing you know, 3 days go by with an open pipe with mud and sludge and dirty water, able to go in those pipes. It rained in the meantime. I don't know if I was so busy for 3 days I didn't get back to it, or if I just didn't want to. But it sat there like that. And so then a freeze was coming in December, if you remember, and so about 10 hours before the freeze, I got it put back together, I got it tightened up, and I got dirt on top of it so it wouldn't freeze. Then I went inside and sat, and I thought, when it comes time to turn that sprinkler on, whenever it may be, March or April, all of that mud and sludge, it's going to get pushed by that water into every sprinkler head. And all of those filters are going to be filled with mud, and how that water is not going to come out very well at all. I'm going to have to call somebody to come clean every filter of every sprinkler head. Mid-December through, we're in mid-April, and I must confess, I worried about that for January, February, March, April, 4 months. I thought, you know what, maybe I could go take every sprinkler head out, turn it on, and that'll push it all out. And then I put the sprinkler heads back. Then I thought about how Shelly lets me know I break things very easy. So I figured I'd break the sprinkler heads, and I didn't do it. So last week, it's time, I need to water. I go out there, and I turn it on, and as I'm walking away, I hear psh. And that's usually a good sound. And I get around front and look, and every sprinkler head is spraying just fine. There never was a problem at all. I worried for 4 months about something that didn't even exist. How many things do we worry about it's only in our mind, it's not even in existence? But let me say this, what if I were right, and what if it was a catastrophe and I had to call out a repairman to get that fixed? I mean, what did 4 months of worry do to help me? I don't think there are coupons for worrying. Well, I'm not a senior citizen, but man, I worried for 4 months what you got for me. It wouldn't do any good. And where there might be a laugh and something lighthearted about something that is not very important like that, worry can do damage beyond what we can imagine. Worry does damage beyond what we can imagine. Yet, What do many Christians do? We slight the issue of worry. We just slight that subject and we don't think about it as any big deal. You know, I can't imagine what number there might be of those who wouldn't even call worry a sin. But it is. This is the subject that Jesus is talking about tonight. He's doing all of the talking, and it is about worry. And Jesus is telling us here, do not worry about your necessities. Do not worry about your life and body. Do not worry about food and shelter. Do not worry about your stature. Do not worry about clothing. Do not worry about food, drink, and clothing. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And live one day at a time. A couple of anonymous writers made some very good statements, whoever they are. And one says, worry is a small trickle of fear that meanders through the mind until it cuts a channel into which all other thoughts are drained. Another says, worry is putting a question mark where God has put a period. How about this one? One more. Worry is the interest we pay on tomorrow's troubles. We're sharing this subject of worry tonight in such a way not to beat one another up. Every single one of us in here have worried about something, but that we might listen to what Jesus is saying here so that we can win over worry. And so in verse 25, let's look at the perception of worry. Jesus says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? We need to look at things from a different angle. Jesus gives us a different perception of the list of things that I just mentioned, of the list of things that Jesus mentions. We have a different perception on worry when we get through with this. And we've got to have a different perception on Jesus Christ Himself. I don't think He's flattered by our worry with such a Savior as He is. And He says, take no thought for your life. I used to have my little homemade definition of that. Well, just the way I said it. Don't worry yourself to death. That's the way I defined take no thought. Don't worry yourself to death. But I thought that that might really get attention to say it that way. But it might get attention in the wrong way. Okay, I won't worry myself to death. I'll just try to worry less. I'll just worry a little bit maybe. I don't think my definition is so great as just the simple definition that we find when we look up that phrase where Jesus is saying, take no thought. Here's the definition. Do not worry, period. That's the charge from our Savior. Do not worry. And He uses this phrase in these 10 verses three times. Three times throughout this He gives the charge, do not worry. Do not worry. Do not worry. First thing about this, as we look at the perception of worry here, Jesus is not saying, do not have initiative, do not have action about things. He's not saying that. He's not saying do not have preparation for life at all. Jesus does not encourage laziness or just a carefree, do nothing kind of thinking or an I don't care attitude. He's not trying to take us there. God never promotes slothfulness, lack of effort, or neglect of responsibilities. We're to be diligent with our business, and we're even to help in the business of others when we can. But we are not to let our minds become preoccupied with the things of this world, with the material things of this world, with possessions. Our thinking, our daydreaming, our brainstorming, our energy, our efforts are not to be put on the extras. They're not even to be put on the necessities of life, because He promises to meet those needs. Speaking of extras, I mean, I drug a water hose all over my yard most of my life with a little manual sprinkler system. That system is an extra. I was worrying over something I didn't even need. We're not to be preoccupied with these things of life. We're not to extend ourselves to the max, wanting and reaching for more and more. You know, we can become so very anxious over what we get or what we want. I don't tell this and embellish, you know, as my kids might think. I truly got one pair of shoes every year growing up. And I always tried to push my mom to get me the best shoes that she could without my dad getting upset, because I had to go show him what she got me. So I knew I had to answer for it. So I pushed to do the best I could. One year I got some white tennis shoes. I said, Mom, can I wear them home? Okay, son. I just looked at him in the car and smiled all the way home. Man, I loved those shoes. And when people would walk by, first 3 days, I'm walking careful. I'm making sure nothing touches those shoes. When I ride my bike, you know, the big metal claw teeth on your pedals, I easily got on my bike and rode it. Careful on the skateboard. About 3 days go by. I used the sidewalk and the driveway. I did not go through the yard in those shoes until I went to school one day. And this big old wide foot just smashed right on top of my white shoe and marked it all up. And I immediately tried to get it off. It wouldn't come off. I mean, I don't know if anybody had that feeling. But those brand new shoes that I was so excited about, that I wanted, oh, I got so anxious and fretful over those things. They made me miserable. I was glad a month down the road when they were light brown. I didn't have to worry over those things anymore. You know, that's something, again, small, that we think about maybe in a lighthearted way, but it does transfer over. Let's think about those bigger possessions or whatever. Let's think about those things that we have or we want that we become disturbed over. It can even cause sleepless nights. So let us get this. The world lures us into possessions to make us happy when actually we'll lose our joy because we become so wrapped up in the security of those things. There's something that accumulates when we're too focused on materialism and too focused on the world. I mean, I'm talking about headaches, health problems, ulcers, blood pressure. Everybody may not connect it, and maybe we don't see when to clearly connect it, but I definitely believe those things are connected to the physical health for sure. Next thing you know, our lives are about getting more than our lives are about God. And that takes over. Looking for worth and security in stuff keeps us from the experience of God's love and care for us. We have a clear charge given to us here to not worry. So let me finish this perception by saying it's wrong to neglect God while we work. Work is good. Work will get us things. Work gets us what we need. But it's wrong to neglect God while we work. It's not wrong to work for what we have. It's not wrong to get the necessities of life with it. But it's wrong to worry about how we're going to keep it or how we're going to get more. It's wrong not to be satisfied with the necessities of life, which is what Jesus promises. It's wrong to neglect the needs of others. That worry, if we're worrying, how are we going to be thinking about someone else and their needs to try to help another? So there's the perception of worry. We really need to get a move on. Long prayer list tonight and a long message. But let's look at prioritizing in verse 25. Jesus says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life." Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? The perception and the prioritizing. Food and clothing must not be the focus over our lives and our body. God's to be trusted to provide the food and the clothes that we need as He promises. That's not for us to give our thought and our energy into. You can think about the life and the body. The life is more important and the body's more important than what you put in it or what you put on it. How much is our focus, though, in the wrong place, even worrying about those things that Jesus promises? You know, there's stuff. Stuff dominates a life. When a marriage is about stuff, the couple's going to quarrel. And they're going to fight dirty for the promotion at work if it's about stuff. How will that affect the kids? Will the kids grow up having an importance of stuff on their minds versus a relationship with a Savior? God has to be neglected for us to just have the focus of we want more, I want more, I want more. Zacchaeus wanted more, more, more as a crooked tax collector. Then when he got saved, he said half. I give half to them and half to them, those who I have wronged. I ran into an old buddy one time, and I don't mean to sound critical or anything, but it just makes a point. Hadn't seen him in a long time, and within 5 minutes, I knew what neighborhood he lived in. He had a brand new house, and he had some lakefront property, and he had a boat and a jet ski and a travel trailer, and there's nothing at all wrong with having those things, but is that how this person defined themselves? Is that what was most important to them? May we never define our importance or worth according to what we have in materialism. It can literally enslave a person. I wonder how many people never prioritize life. It starts with not the person or the possessions that are temporary in a limited time on earth. Prioritizing life starts, we need to start with what's eternal. We need to start with what God has provided that's forever. In comparison to things that rust and things that fade in a short time that we are here upon this earth, nevertheless, people become enslaved by this brief period of time that we're in. A priority of life forever before anything that's short-lived, we must start there. And everything else fall into place. A verse I'll read a few times tonight is verse 33. Jesus says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Jesus is teaching us to prioritize life, and when we prioritize life, it does something to worry. Worry starts losing its fight. Many people are living it up, they would say, but they're missing out on real life. Real life is life in Christ with eternal security and eternal care. In a letter to the Thessalonians, it speaks of everlasting consolation that the child of God has, the eternal over the temporal. Sounds simple. Yet I wonder how many have it backwards. Look at the providence. Look at the providence that helps with this issue of worry in verse 26. "Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?" Let me read that again. "Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?" Study the birds, observe the birds. Wow, Jesus has some simple processes and a pattern for us for this giant monster of worry. On Saturday mornings or maybe a holiday morning, Shelly and I, we don't even have to ask each other. We know what we're going to do. We're going to go sit on the back porch and drink coffee. And I didn't like all the trees around my house when I moved in, but I love them now. Because there are birds everywhere. There is a choir going on in the trees. And we sit and we drink our coffee and we listen. Study the birds. Think about the birds. God takes care of the birds. If God takes care of the birds so meticulously, what about the believer who is trusting Him to take care of them. We're on a higher level than the birds. We're made in the image of God. Human beings are capable of having a relationship with God. I understand the testimony when people talk about getting saved and going out of the church house, and they can understand what the birds are singing. I understand that. But we have a song the birds can't sing, okay? Since Jesus came into my heart, man, we go out singing that, and the birds are going, what are they singing? I think I like it. But it's a new song to me. Birds have a creator, but believers have a father. We're heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. We've been adopted. We are children of God. We have a redemption day coming. The birds don't. We do. We have all of this above and beyond the birds. So Jesus says, look how I care for the birds, and consider how I care for you and the care I'm going to give you. That's enough to lose an appetite for the material things by way of letting those things overwhelm us. That's enough to really chip away at worry right there. It's a cure for covetousness, backsliding, and seeking other things before God. If we watch the birds long enough, we'll be content in trusting the Lord for shelter and for food, for our needs met. God knows every fowl upon this earth, and He meets the needs of every single one. And God knows every trusting child of His and the needs that a child of God has. He knows what we have need of before we even ask. Asking is our benefit. God loves to see faith and for us to express our dependence in Him. He knows what we need, and then we ask Him. It's not a news flash to God. He knows what we need, and He promises to meet our needs. The providential care of the Lord. The cares that come with materialism, those can be avoided. There's some cares in life that come and they can't be avoided. You know, we're going to have to deal with them. But the cares about this stuff, Jesus is helping us to be able to avoid those cares because of His promises to us. And it's important that we do so. I mean, our attitude and our testimony, it's important that we trust a giving Heavenly Father. Verses 28 through 30, consider the lilies. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? God gives good soil to the lilies, and they grow, and they're beautiful. And God has planted us in His righteousness to be fixed on the things of God, to be trusting in His promises. Lilies are beautiful, and it's a natural beauty. When we trust in the Lord, man, we're not worried about artificial or superficial beauty. A beauty that shines through from the child of God trusting in the Lord, that's the most beautiful thing we could ever see in a person. This comes through His providential care. Trust in His providential care for us. If He cares for the birds, and He cares for the little, consider the little, think about it. Think about what God does for them. And then how about His care for us? Look at a point of pointlessness real quick. Verse 27, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to His stature? Whether we think about this as height, whether you think about it as age, it's pointless to worry about any of it. It doesn't do a bit of good. Can we add one cubit to our stature by worrying? One day, we're going to have a new glorified body in heaven forever. God has made us as He has made us, and we don't need to be worrying about those things when God has prepared something perfect for us forever. People worry and wish for a change now in this short while without considering the future. Consider the future and what God has prepared for us, and we will be content with the things we have now. Verse 32, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. He knows what we need. We have His promises. We have His presence. So may we not worry, but prioritize and seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Jesus is really pushing something home in our hearts right here that it is so pointless to worry. It's pointless to worry tonight, right now. And as I say that, let me close. We're going to close this up and look at the present. The present is going to help us with this business of worry. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We have to live one day at a time. Today is not Thursday, April 18th, 2024. It's Wednesday, April 17th. And the blessings that God has for us this evening, tonight, we don't want to be robbed of those blessings because of what tomorrow may or may not hold. It doesn't mean we don't care about tomorrow. It means we're not over preoccupying ourselves with tomorrow. It does mean not to be anxious, not to be fretful, not to be fearful or panicking about tomorrow today. And don't panic about tomorrow either. It also means don't worry about how much we can get tomorrow. We're to live and work diligently, calmly doing what we're to do today, trusting the Lord to take care of it all. First place in our lives. Lord Jesus Christ, first place in our lives. I like it simple. I like simple prioritizing. First place in our lives. Remember this charge from Jesus. And He's put it all in here so that we can win over worry. Do not worry. Take no thought. Do not worry. Well, easier said than done, preacher. Well, we've just been following along with the words of Jesus. And Jesus says, take no thought. Jesus says, do not worry. And He gives us the pattern. He gives us what we need so that we can win over worry. If there's anyone here tonight as we close, though, and you have no peace of what happens after your last heartbeat and last breath, let me say tonight that you need to be worried to death about something. And that is leaving this life without knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior for the forgiveness of your sins. He freely offers salvation. Someone said yesterday, I'm not buying what you're selling. And we said, we're not selling anything. They knew what we were talking about. I said, we're not selling anything, but we're offering something that Jesus gives away for free. And that is eternal life and a home in heaven if you'll trust Him for the forgiveness of your sins. And we pray you wouldn't leave this sanctuary tonight until you do so. And I'd love to take the Word of God and share it with you and show you how that can happen. Aren't you glad for a change that also comes into our lives when we believe in Jesus? We're no longer the same. We're a new creature. What a blessing of evidence in our life. Something we couldn't change that Jesus changed when He saved us. Praise the Lord. George Bowman, please close our Bible study in a word of prayer. And please meet James and Elizabeth on your way out. And we went long. It is what it is. God bless you. Have a good night. Brother Jewett.